Philippians chapter 3, we were in verse 12 last week. We're going to be in verse 13 and 14 today, but these kind of all run together, so we'll read verse 12 again. As it's, I kind of see it as an introduction to what we want to say in verse 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word here this morning. Lord, I pray during this time that you'll work in each one of our hearts, Father. Prepare our hearts, bless our hearing, that your word may come in and captivate us and be applied in our life this week. Thank you for this time, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll talk to you today about pressing toward the mark. Press toward the mark. Paul says very plainly here in verse number 13 that he does not consider himself to have taken hold of all that Christ has for him. And I hope you're there in that same place here this morning. I hope you don't consider yourself to have apprehended that for which you have been apprehended. We know that it is a gradual process in our life, that every day brings something new, and every day there is more for us. Now, there are things in life that you're going to apprehend to. And in your personal life, in your non-spiritual life, if there is such a thing, you may professionally get to a level of achievement or a level of attainment that you're satisfied with, and you say, I've done it, and now I'm going to retire. That's a good place to get to, and I'm happy for those of you who get to that place. Financially, you may reach that place. In your health, you may reach that place. But I would say to you this morning, in your Christian life, in the spiritual things of your life, don't ever get to that place. While you retire professionally, don't retire spiritually. Don't stop doing something for the Lord. Even though the Lord may transition you just out of something and into something new, it never ends for the believer. And Paul says that here this morning. He says, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do. He says continually that he forgets the past. Continually he works toward what is ahead. You know, it can be observed, though, that in many Christians, there becomes a case of spiritual smugness. You know that? Or a case of spiritual apathy. So many have become complacent regarding spiritual matters. I want to ask you this morning to get your mind thinking as we go through these verses. Have you lost your vision for God's future purposes in your life? Have you stopped working hard in Christ's service? I want you to allow the text today to challenge you in regards to those two questions. Let's begin first with verse 13, forgetting the past. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul works to forget about those things in the past that would overshadow his present. Boy, does your past overshadow your present? Boy, I have those days. I'm sure you do too, where it seems like all that I can do in my present is ponder on the past. The past is past, both the good and the bad. It's past. That's why we call it the past. Let it stay in the past so that you can operate in the present. We cannot do the will of God if we are not operating in the present. And when we begin to spend all of our time dwelling on the past, whether the good or the bad, it hinders us in the present, and thus we accomplish nothing for the future. The past is past. Always looking at the past prevents us from ever moving forward. This could be looking back and remembering the good old days. Not just the bad things in the past, but the good in the past. Do you guys do this? Do you sit back and reminisce on the good old days? And I'm not telling you can't ever, you know, to be right with God, you can never remember the good in your past. But a lot of times as Christians, we get so caught up in the way things used to be. The way things were at one time. What I used to do for God. What I have done in the past for God. We get so caught up in that that we forget to do anything more. That we forget about what it is right now. I was thinking this morning as Brother Kim was singing to us. This is how our church is now. This is us. This is what we do. This is how we are. And I began to think about when we first came here, just a few years ago, how different it was. But it is how it is so much now that I forget what it used to be like. And for some of you, you can think back even before I was here what it used to be like. And we get, you know, and then I think, well, man, it won't always be this way because this is not how it's always been in a sense. We're all gathered here together by the divine hand of God, no doubt. We probably won't ever be gathered like this again, ever again. And it's wonderful to take that in, but if we spend all our time considering the past, we can't operate in the present. We surely won't think toward the future. But take that and apply it into your own personal life. Do you spend all your time in the good old days? I think back to my teenage years. Those are the glory days. Are you guys, your teenage years, your glory days, you know, and sports or the car you had, or hopefully, guys, not the girlfriend you had, unless you married her. But she better still be the glory days now, even if you did marry her, right? Amen. Amen. All you guys, real heartily, say amen right there. Let's get us all out of trouble. And some of you guys are getting the elbow. You better say amen. You're going to wish you had. But I think back to basketball in high school. You know, that was, oh, we went to the state championship. We were the best, you know, and I was the biggest and thought I was the best. And, you know, all of these things. And now I've gotten older and I'm not in shape anymore. The only thing that gets me down those stairs to the fellowship hall Sunday morning is between services is those donuts. And then after I've had that donut, I can't get back up the stairs. And boy, that one today was wonderful. It's Krispy Kreme. If you missed Sunday school this morning, you missed out. It was a banana pudding donut. I just couldn't believe it. It was a donut stuffed with the same kind of cream the banana pudding has, and then iced, and then these cookies on top of that. Oh, my goodness, it was wonderful. It just, oh, I'm having trouble preaching to you guys with it in my belly right now, though. But I think back to the good old days, and I say, oh, man, I tell the young people now, I say, oh, y'all don't know how to play basketball. You ought to let a real man show you how to play, you know, and I'll put it to you in the game, you know. But I can't even run to one end of the court and back, you know. But we reminisce on these things. So it could be the good, but it also could be the bad. Looking back with disgust at some happening from our past and allowing this to hinder us from what God would have us to do today or next week or sometime in the future. No doubt we all have scars in our past. We all have troubles in our past. We have things that we look back on and we think, surely God can't use me because I did that. Surely God can't use me like this because of how I was then. You're denying God's providence there. You're denying God's foreknowledge. You're denying that God is all-powerful and all-knowing and all-present. You're denying the very existence of God by saying He can't overcome your past to work through you in the present and in the future. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press toward the mark. But I tell you this morning, until you begin to forget about your past, you will never move forward in this life. Forget those things in the past. I'm thankful Paul says, forgetting, ing. Not just, I forget those things in the past, because for me, it's a daily happening. For Paul here, he's saying this in a continual sense. It's a constant thing. I forget today, and I do what God wants me to do today, but I get up tomorrow, and it's going to haunt me again. But I'll forget again tomorrow, and I'll go on with what God wants me to do, forgetting those things which are in the past. In the present, I am continually working to forget the past so that I move forward to the future. Forget those things that are in the past so that, secondly, you can reach for the future. Notice the end of verse 13 there. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Someone asked David Livingstone when he was back in England briefly, after having worked many years in Africa. They said, Dr. Livingstone, where are you ready to go now? And he answered them, I'm ready to go anywhere, provided it be forward. I say amen to that. I don't know how many times I've said things like, I wished I could be more like Paul or James, or I wish God would use me like so-and-so. You have your own fill in the blank there. Do you know why God doesn't use me that way? You know why God doesn't use you that way? I'll answer that question with another question is, are you reaching for the future? Not eternity. I'm not speaking the future and eternity. I'm talking about tomorrow. Are you reaching for tomorrow? What about next week? What about next year? You say, well, you don't know what I've done in my past, or you don't know what I've already done, completed in my past, and maybe I'm finished by now. What I'm saying to you this morning is forget those things that are behind you. Reach forward to those things that are for as you press toward the mark and the prize of the high calling. We a lot of times we'll misunderstand what is being said here in verse 13 as he says, reach forth into those things which are before, because right after that in verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 14 speaks of this prize, and doubtless Paul there is speaking of an eternal reward. But in running a race, we know that the prize is where? It's at the end, at the finish line. This is only reached, though, by getting to one mark after another along the course. You go drive down Interstate 40, and if you're like me, you're either counting exits or you're counting mile markers. Depends on how in a hurry I am. I'm in a hurry, I count those mile markers. 213, 214, 215. Didn't we just go by 215? Is that 215 again? Man, I've got to hurry up here. I'm ready to go. And we watch those marks. And our Christian life is very much that way. It's one mark after another, after another, after another, all towards the eventual prize. And the prize is the eternal. But the mark is tomorrow and next week and the next month and the next year. We're constantly focusing on that which is behind. We miss that which is before. We don't move forward at all. Paul says here, forget those things in the past. Reach toward the future. Living your entire life with your only hope being that in eternity is a poor use of the life God has given you. Why are you alive today? Why are you here on earth? God has allowed you to be here for some purpose. And if you think that purpose is only those things that are eternal, then I would say to you today, you have become so heavenly minded, you are no earthly good. I don't like that terminology and I don't use it very much. One preacher I heard lately say, you could become so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. He said, but I've not met one yet who has done this. And I said, amen to that. I don't know that there are. But if we're not careful, we get so set on my reward up in heaven that we forget about our task here on earth. Is eternity done? Is it a given? Yeah, it is, right? I mean, it's there. I'm saved. I'm as good as there. You remember we talked about justification, sanctification, glorification, right? Glorification is done. I mean, not yet, not to us now, but as far as God's concerned, outside of time, it is. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and you can't be present with the Lord unless you're in a glorified body. Eternity is taken care of. Stop worrying about eternity and start worrying about today. Be concerned with what God wants you to do today and tomorrow and the next day. Reach forward to the future. Move forward in your life. Stop concentrating so much on the past. We'll remember the past. We'll be thankful for the past. We will learn from our past. But the whole point of learning from the past is what? To help us in the future. Paul talks about here pressing toward the mark. And he says, hey, I need to go toward the mark because I have not apprehended yet. Go back to verse 12. What did he need to apprehend? He said, I was apprehended unto something. But I follow after, he says, I follow Christ, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. He said, Jesus saved me to do something with me. And I've not begun to do what he'd have me to do yet, or I've not done all that he wants me to do yet, he says in verse 13. But these things I do, he says, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before. Are you living your whole life with only that eternal hope? Then I would say to you this morning, it's a poor use of the life God has given to you now. How can God ever say to us, well done, if in this life we've done nothing? See, that's not our society today, though, is it? We live in this, every kid gets a trophy, we're all winners. You're all winners, but you're not. Somebody loses and somebody wins. We've even begun to fight our wars this way. Have y'all noticed this in the world? It's like we never actually win wars anymore. We go over and we maintain for a little while and then we leave. The cold hard fact is we go over and kill enough of the bad guys to where they stop and we come back winners. I long for us coming back with victory parades again in America and hooping and hollering that we beat the guys. And the bad guy lost and the good guy wins. Was that the cartoons when y'all were kids? And the westerns? I mean, you would watch Marshall Dillon, and every week it was the same thing, but every week I liked the same thing. The good guy won. Hey, can I tell you, according to the Word of God, the good guy wins, the bad guy loses. That's just it. But we've been warped a little bit by our society to think that we're just all winners. But hey, I'll say to you, we can all be winners. Everyone who is in Christ is a winner. I'm getting off subject here. Let me get back on subject. But how can we expect to go to heaven? We all expect, by the way, I think so, I think you do, to go to heaven and God say, well done, good and faithful servant. I imagine there's a head pat in there. There may not be. The Bible doesn't say there's a head pat. But you study out the Greek. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I imagine there's a head pat in there. Well done, good and faithful servant. I mean, that was always a pleasure for me as a child, as when an adult would pat me on the head and tell me good job, you know, or pat me on the back or something. Well done. We all expect that, but that's fine. I'm glad you do, but what are you doing? I mean, well done means you've actually completed something. You think just being a Christian makes you well done? Did you do that? He did that, right? That's the work of Christ on the cross. That was a gift, wasn't it? I mean, that'd be like getting your Christmas presents. I open them up on Christmas morning that somebody else has gotten for you and saying, man, look what all I've done here. You didn't do that. Someone else did. Got to be careful what I say there, don't I? We have our children out here this morning. Shh. And I'm proud of the gift of God. I'm glad for salvation. But God saved you unto something, Paul taught us in verse number 12. And then in verse 13, he says, hey, I haven't got to that something yet. And man, if Paul hasn't, have we? And here sits Paul, this great missionary who had toured the world several times, or at least his part of the world, several times already. And now he's sitting in a jail cell, and he's not just sitting and soaking it in. He's sitting there writing letters as inspired by the Holy Spirit of God and sending them out to these churches. And he's being effective in each of these churches, even from his prison. And that guy is the one who's saying, I've not achieved what God wants me to achieve in this life yet. Well, that convicts my heart. I hope that convicts your heart. What open doors are you walking through? What opportunities are you expecting to take? I'll tell you about me. I'm better at the opposite. Instead of finding those open doors and saying, whew, yeah, let's go this direction, I'm better at determining just why I shouldn't. I evaluate the risk, and I can tell you all about the risk. And if, well, we could do this, but here's the problems with that. Or I can tell you the effects on the current pursuits that I'm involved in my life if I were to take this new opportunity, and 1,000 other reasons not to do this thing. But we can't operate like that. We never move forward. We must reach for the future. So Paul says here, I forget the past, I reach for the future. And then verse 14, he says very plainly, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To press toward the mark is to realize first that God must work in us if we're going to win the race, and secondly, to exercise ourselves unto further godliness. First, to press towards the mark, to realize that God must work in us if we're going to win the race. Notice, just flip back a page there to chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians 2, 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God must work in us if we're going to win the race. Jesus taught us in John chapter number 15, without me you can do nothing. Secondly, to press toward the mark is to exercise ourselves unto godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You know, the problem there, though, is sometimes we get so busy dying to ourselves over and over and over again that we never come back to life again to actually run the race. For many, the Christian life is simply, I fall, I repent, I get back up, I fall, I repent, I get back up, I fall, I repent, I get back up. And it's just that constant cycle. But God's saying, go forward. Move forward. Do something for me. I saved you for a purpose. I put you around those people for a purpose. I put you in that position for a purpose. I've got some things I want you to do on behalf of heaven. Do it. But we're saying, Lord, forgive me again. And not that asking for forgiveness of sin is wrong, but it's forgiven, it's done, and go on with your day. Die daily. Sure, we've got to do that. But it shouldn't take all day long to die daily. Begin your day, die unto yourself, and then live the rest of the day unto Christ. Some are so busy, though, dying to self that they never actually run the race. Others are so sure that they can make it on their own that they never stop to read the Word, to pray, or to ask for the power of the Lord. Do you guys remember the tortoise and the hare? You know what I'm talking about here? The tortoise and the hare? Y'all learn about this? Hopefully you do. Now, for me, it's the Bugs Bunny cartoon, tortoise and the hare version. But for you, it's probably in a book or somebody told you the story. But you just remember it how you remember it. But we can make some observations there that are very applicable to what we're talking about here. So the bunny rabbit would sprint a little while and then he would stop, right? Isn't that how he operated? Boy, he was so fast. And he was just fast. I thought I was used to be that fast. In the story, I was the bunny and my friends were the little turtle there. But now, of course, you look at me. I'm not a fast guy. I never was fast. But we were all fast in our own minds, right? Am I the only one? So that bunny, he would run and he would run and he would run and he would look back and he would laugh at that slow turtle. Why did he even want to race me? Look how slow that guy is. And he'd stop and he'd have a soda. And then he would run and he would run. He'd make fun of the turtle some more and then he'd stop and watch TV. And then he would run. And he was just nothing for that bunny rabbit. He was fast. You ever tried to catch a bunny? They are fast, I'll tell you. Chickens and bunnies. Never been able to catch either one. And actually found out I can't catch ponies either. So there, I had three to my list there. I'm obviously not as fast as I want to be. But then there was this tortoise. The tortoise was never very fast. His running was not impressive. But he kept moving forward. He went at his own comfortable pace. I mean, it was slower than the rabbit. And I'm sure people around him said, man, what are you even trying for? Look how slow you're going. You can't outrun a rabbit. You're a turtle. I mean, maybe underwater you could swim this fast, but you're on land, buddy. You don't even have good legs for this. But he kept on at his own comfortable pace. He wasn't fast. He wasn't impressive, but he one foot in front of the other. He just kept moving forward. He was not concerned with the rabbit ahead of him. And in the end, this turtle finished a winner. Well, isn't that something? What is the lesson we learned from that today? Keep moving forward. Press toward the mark. Say, well, I'm not as fast. That's fine. I'm not as impressive. That's fine. I can't do it like that rabbit can do it. That's all right. Just keep moving forward. Put one foot in front of the other and fulfill your purpose for God today. Apprehend that for which you've been apprehended. Forget the past. Reach for the future. Press toward the mark. What is our motivation, though? How do we avoid that spiritual smugness, that apathy, that complacency in our Christian life? Paul tells us here is the prize. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Everybody likes a prize. Do y'all like prizes? That's how we pick out cereal, isn't it, boys? The one that has the best prize inside. I mean, think about Cracker Jacks. Y'all like Cracker Jacks? They're pretty good, right? How has Cracker Jack stayed in business all these years? I mean, have they been around all of y'all's lives? All your life, right? Anybody in here, there's not been Cracker Jacks all your life that you're willing to admit that? No, I think they've been around that long. They're just that old of a product. Why in the world are Cracker Jacks still in business? Their marketing appeal is not very good. They're not on TV. They don't place their product in the right places in the stores. You go and look at the stores, and you'll have to look and hunt down Cracker Jacks to try to find them, won't you? And then you find those boxes. They're kind of ugly. It's just two-color print on there. It's not as fancy as all the marketing stuff we have nowadays. There's just that little boy that's supposed to be in the Navy. I don't know how he got in the Navy as young as he is. And his dog's in the Navy, too, right? And these are Cracker Jacks. And all maybe it's just me, but every Cracker Jack I've ever had in my life was a little bit stale. Am I wrong there? I mean, you can get better caramel corn than Cracker Jacks. But hey, who's ever turned down a Cracker Jack? You know why? There's a prize inside. We want that prize. They have stayed in business all of these years because on the box it says, not only do you get our product, it's very cheap already, but you're going to get a prize. I mean, I don't care if you like prizes or if you like me, you just like to feel like you got a good deal or whatever it is. You want that prize. And the prize is nothing. I mean, it's like a little water tattoo that's going to wash off the next day, or maybe a piece of bubble gum or a baseball card of some guy you never heard of. You know, he probably never actually played baseball. It's a Navy guy when he was in baseball, I guess is who that is. But it's a prize nonetheless. Hey, I'm telling you, that's our motivation as Christians. Now, I belittle the prize in the cracker box. The prize in the Bible was much better. But Paul says here, press toward the mark. And when you get tired of pressing toward the mark, don't forget about the prize at the end. That is our motivation. For Paul, this began, this prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus began as he was Saul on the road to Damascus. For me, this call came at 11 years of age in a place called Commerce, Georgia. No doubt you can remember in your life when you were called to come out from among this world and be separate. Dunham says that this call is the ultimate bliss to which God summons us. It is what Paul says in verse 12 that he was apprehended for. It is what you were saved unto. How does the hunter continually, eagerly, the emphasis just gets ruined when you don't get the words out, doesn't it? Let's try it again. Back it up. How does the hunter continue eagerly pursuing his prey? How does the runner keep on running? How does the athlete continue to play the game? It's all about the prize. The simple idea that the hunter will catch his prey keeps him hunting. The idea that the runner will finish his course keeps him running. That the athlete will win the game keeps him playing the next game and the next game and the next game. Press toward the mark. Forget those things which are behind. Reach forth unto those things which are before. Press toward the mark and the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As I finish, let me bring your attention to one last thing here in the middle of verse 13. Sort of skipped over it, but it's very important. Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." This one thing I do. Preaching about, reading about, thinking about, forgetting the past, reaching for the future, pressing toward the mark, preaching about those rewards in heaven. These ideas, one of two things can happen. They can cause us to want to do everything, or they can discourage us to want to do nothing. In either sense, Paul says, this one thing I do. If you just get excited this morning and you said, man, I want to get out there and get after it. This is great. I'm going to reach toward the future. I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. You're going to burn out. Paul said, this one thing I do. Too many Christians are involved in many things when the secret of progress is to concentrate on one thing. This is what it was. It was a turning point in D.L. Moody's life. Before the Chicago fire in 1871, D.L. Moody was involved in Sunday school promotion, YMCA work, evangelistic meetings, and on and on and on his resume of activities went. But after that fire, he determined to devote himself exclusively to evangelism. This one thing I do became a reality to D.L. Moody. And as a result, millions of people heard the gospel. No athlete finds success by doing everything. He specializes on what he does best. Concentrate your efforts. A river can be controlled and become a powerful source of generation. But a river can also be allowed to overflow its banks, and then everything around it becomes a swamp. Forget the past. Reach for the future. Press toward the mark. Let's stand this morning. We're going to have a verse of a song and a time of prayer. Challenge you Christians here this morning. Don't get caught up in spiritual smugness. Don't become apathetic in your Christian life. Press toward the mark, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. What are you reaching forward for? What are you hoping to accomplish tomorrow, next week, for the Lord? God saved you unto something. You've been apprehended unto something. What is that thing? Are you pressing toward the mark? We're all hoping for the prize, but about just the next mark along the race. As Miss Wiggins plays, let's all pray together. If you're here today and you've never been saved, come forward. Let me show you in God's Word how to become a Christian. Let's all pray together.